Take your Bibles tonight. You can go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. The topic of tonight's teaching is on believing. It's a teaching on believing. And John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
That's right. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. It's not stories. It's not superstitions. It's truth. God's word is truth. The words that are in this book that we look at are truth. They can be proven out, and they won't be wrong. They're truth. Go to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, 19. Okay, so we have to keep that foundation in our brains, that the Word of God is truth. If we don't believe that, the rest of it isn't worth anything. If we don't believe the word to be true, what's the point? Right? Why would you want to read a book or put your faith in something that's not true? You have to believe that the word of God is true. And Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God isn't a man that he should lie. We are, you know, we're all human beings. We've all not told the truth before. But God is not a man that he should lie. Everything God's have ever said has been true. His word is truth. And God won't lie to you. What God says is true, and he won't repent. Whatever he says, he's going to make good on it, right? Has he not spoken? Shall he not make it good? He backs it up. So we can believe that the word of God is true. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. So sometimes, 1 John 5, 9, sometimes I have a problem in my life, right? I have a conflict. I'm going through some stuff. I'm unsure of what to do. I ask for counsel. Somebody gives me the word. And sometimes people will give the counsel of, well, just believe, or renew your mind, or believe and you'll receive what you're looking for, right? And that's sincere and correct advice. I know it to be biblically accurate. And sometimes where I still fall short is the how of following that advice. Like, okay, well, that's great, but I need help in my believing. I'm tangled up in the thoughts of like, well, I might not be doing it right. I might not be believing right. And like, how do I do this? And so the first place we need to start is like, what is believing then? And Webster's dictionary, which defines words, says to accept as true, to trust in, to think or to suppose. And so the first two of those definitions deal with trust, right? To accept as true, or to trust in. So to believe is to accept it as true, to trust in it. And we read in John 17 that the word of God is true, right? So we have to accept that it is true. We have to be like, okay, this is true. Okay, that's very foundational, but it's something that we have to work at. We have to be like, okay, when I read this, when I read about what Moses did or Jesus Christ did, is it true? Is it true? Or is it like a really neat story that sounds pretty awesome? Or is it true? So we have to accept it as true. And the third definition was to think or to suppose. And that has to do with, obviously, our thoughts, what we put into our brain, okay? And that's a big piece of it too, because that's where it starts for us, is in our brains. Do you believe that Antarctica is at the South Pole? Or does anybody believe that? Or is it possible it's not really there? Have you ever been to Antarctica? Who in here has been to Antarctica? I haven't. But I believe it's down there. Because I've seen globes and people have said it's there. I've never been there. Maybe it's not there. Have you ever seen a globe? The Earth is round. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe the Earth is flat. They're flat earthers. You can look them up online. They've got all kinds of theories about why it's true. There are people that believe the Earth is convex, meaning that we don't live on the outside of a globe, we live on the inside of one. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy, right? And then the sun is right in the middle of that empty space. Why do people believe that? So, but I've never been to Antarctica, but I believe it's down there, right? Do you believe that there are pyramids in Egypt? I've never been to those either. But I've seen some pictures before. People have told me that, right? Do you believe that when you flip the switch on the wall, the lights will come on? Yeah, because you've done it before, right? You flipped them on and seen it happen. That's even easier to believe because you know it by experience. You've done it before, right? There's all kinds of things that we believe because someone has told us or because we put it into practice. We've experienced it and proved it out, right? I know that tomorrow is Tuesday because every single Monday of my life, Tuesday has come after. I've experienced that, right? Could you imagine if I walked around swatting water bottles and glasses out of people's hands because I thought they were full of poison? That would be crazy, right? No, I believe it's really water in there. I'm not tasting it, I'm not drinking it, but I believe it to be true, right? I don't take my own garbage to the dump. I believe that when I put it in the can at the road, that's where it's going. I don't take it upon myself to do it, right? I believe that that's true. But I don't know what happens after that truck comes. I don't, but I believe it's in the dump. Right? There's all kinds of crazy stuff that we believe to be true. And they are true. I'm sure that's where that dump truck is going. It's taking it to the dump. So we don't like throw our menus back in the waiter's faces and ask what the cook is really preparing, right? We believe that that's what's on the menu and we can order that, right? That's what we do. That's what believing is. So if you look at 1 John 5, verse 9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, and that's an example of a promise in God's word that we just read. And it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So believing, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 1:9. You're right, 5:9a. 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, thank you, this makes a lot more sense. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what?
Greater.
It's greater. So we can hear stuff from people, but the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. So all of that stuff that I told you just now was all stuff that is the witness of men, right? I've never been to Antarctica and it's down there. I've never taken the garbage off to the dump, but that's where the dump truck's taking it. The garbage truck's taking it. So these are things that men have told me and I believe. But if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And believing is a mental process. It's one that, in the end, doesn't really require any effort at all, right? So when I think to myself, well, am I doing this right? Am I believing right? It doesn't require any effort to believe something. You either do or you don't. And it's easy to believe something once you've accepted it as true. I've accepted the fact that Antarctica is down there at the South Pole. I've accepted that. And so now it's easy for me to believe it. I don't have to go through this effort of working it out in my head and is it really there? It's there. I believe it. So we believe things every day in our lives. I believe that when I flip the switch, the lights come on. It doesn't take me any effort to think about that or work it out. Go to Psalm 84:11. But I still get tripped up. So sometimes I feel like it's harder to believe God than it is to believe in the light switch. Right? Psalm 84:11. Sometimes that happens. I sometimes feel like it's harder to believe God than it is to believe the stuff that I already know. You know, I claim to myself that it's hard to renew my mind to this. Right? These are the things that I tell myself. But Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He is light, he is protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that what?
Walk uprightly."
So the Word of God says that God's not going to withhold. God's not going to withhold. So sometimes I might feel like, well, it's hard to believe God, but the Word of God says he's not going to hold anything back. Our old man nature is the one that's sin conscious. The one that doesn't think that we deserve this or that it's possible. But we've been delivered, right? God's not going to withhold anything from us. He's not going to keep anything back that he's promised. So what it boils down to is, how hard is it to think a thought, right? How hard is it to think of something? If I tell you to think of a delicious pizza pie, can you all see that delicious pizza pie in your head? That's a good pizza pie. We all could think that thought. It wasn't really hard to think that thought. And that's what it comes down to, is we have to hold a thought in our brain. And if we hold it long enough, it becomes a belief. You know, if you tell a really smart student, a young smart student, if you tell them enough that they're stupid, you can watch their grades decline. We've done studies on things like this. If you convince somebody that they're not what they know themselves to be, over time, they'll accept that as the new truth, because that's the thought that they are continually given and put in their brains, is that this other thing is true. And they hold on to that long enough that it becomes a belief. And the Word of God can work in the exact same way. That if we hold the Word of God in our brains long enough, that it will become true to us. It will become something we truly believe. Okay, so part of it is keeping our thoughts stayed on God and his Word. Go to Acts 13. So there is a how, and it has to do with staying our minds on the Word. Keeping it in there. Thinking those thoughts above other thoughts. And the reason is because there's lots of opportunity to think other thoughts. Acts 13:6. "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." So this guy, Sergius, he wants to hear the word. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, so he's this Bar-Jesus guy, withstood them, seeking to what? Turn away the deputy from the faith. He was actively trying to change this guy's mind from his faith, from what he wanted to believe, which was the Word of God. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, Thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
Wow.
It's quite the accusation. But it's an interesting accusation. There's a lot of good points in that accusation. The first is he calls him full of all what? Subtlety. Subtlety. And that's what the adversary is. He's very subtle. And he's been the god of this world for a very long time. And he knows what to do to get people not to believe God's word, right? His objective is to make sure that people don't believe God and his word. Because before you get born again, you are his property, right? You belong to the adversary. So as long as you don't believe God's word and confess Romans 10:9-10, you're his. So his job is to make sure that doesn't happen, which is to make sure people don't believe God's word. And then once you get born again, you're no longer his. So the only thing he can do is to get you to not believe God's word to reap all the benefits of being a believer, right? To see all the prosperity in your life, to see all the great things that God can do for you. So now you're not his, but he can keep you from all the good stuff, okay? And he does that with great subtlety. He puts all kinds of stuff out there that will distract you from the word of God. Its sole purpose is to keep you from thinking the word of God. Even if it's not bad stuff, right? It's not like you're sitting there thinking about murdering people, but you're not thinking about God's word, right? You're thinking about something else entirely, you know? What's my buddy up to on Facebook, and how many parties has he gone to, right? Whatever that might be, these things that people care more about today than what's in the Word of God. So it's the subtlety of it. It doesn't look like on paper it's necessarily anything devilish or bad, but it's there to distract you from the Word of God. And he calls him the child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. And that's what the Satan is. He is the enemy of all righteousness. Our fight is a spiritual fight. It's the adversary who accuses. It's the adversary who attacks the word that we've been taught. Right? When you look at the parable of the sower and the seed, one of the things that happens is that Satan comes and steals it away. That's what he wants to do, is to steal that word away. So sometimes I feel like, you know, it's hard to believe God when it's super easy to believe that the lights were going to turn on when I flipped the switch. But that's because the adversary's job is actively attacking my willingness to believe God and his word, whether it's through presenting me with distractions or whatever it is, you know, putting in means or putting situations out there so that I think like, oh, well, I can't, this is too much for me to handle, or gets me to question my belief in God's word, right? That's his job. So that's why sometimes it feels like it's harder for me to believe God than it is to believe the light switch will turn on. But the only, our way around that is to keep the word of God in our brains. Philippians 2:13. So in the end, I need to quit worrying about whether or not I'm believing, about maybe doing it wrong, and start counting on being right. Start trusting, right? The definition of believing was to trust. Start trusting that I'm right. That if I'm thinking God's word, I'm right. If I trust that, then I just gotta hold on to it. I gotta keep it there. I gotta keep it there. I gotta stay my mind. I gotta keep it there. Right? I can't just be like, okay, I'm gonna read the word for 10 minutes in the morning and then the rest of my day I don't even remember who God is. Right? I mean, that's a lot of my days. I forget to even pray in the afternoon or whatever. I didn't think of God being there and present in my life, right? And that's a matter of practice and a matter of habit building, right? Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Right? We don't belong to the adversary anymore. We belong to God. When we do his word, we are right. We are right when we do his word. That's the only time we can be 100% absolutely sure that we're right, is when we do God's word. And we can count on that. There's no guesswork involved. There's no wondering, is this the right thing to do? Because if it's God's word, it's the right thing to do. So we can believe the word that we've been taught by putting it into practice. By putting it into practice. Because it says that it's God that will work in you both to will, which means to want to. You know, when you get to the point where this is what you want, then God will work in you to keep that desire alive and on fire. And then to do of his good pleasure, to carry it out. Go to Proverbs 16:3. So if I'm in a particular situation and I start to think, well, do I really believe God's word here? Or do I really believe? The question is, do I have the word? Do I know the word? Do I know what the word of God says on this subject? And if the answer is yes, then I have to act out on it. When you act out on something, that is believing. That's what it is. Action is believing. I don't flip the light switch and wonder if the light is going to happen. I push it because I know the light's going to come on, right? I don't fumble around for every switch in the house wondering which one's going to turn that one off. I know which one does it. I believe that when I hit that switch, it's going to turn those three lights on. I know that. I believe it. And so I act out on it. I don't go fumbling to guess which switch it might be. Right? Action equals believing, and that's what gets results. That's what gets results. We have to act out on the word that we read. 16:3, Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto what? The Lord. And thy thoughts shall be established. Okay? And that's a very particular and specific order. One follows the other. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be what? Established. Your thoughts will be established as you commit yourself to the works of God. As you commit yourself to doing what the Word of God says, then your thoughts are established. And when the Word of God talks about established, it means like it's true, right? When God says something twice in the Word, it's sort of his emphasis to establish it, that it is certain. So God will solidify and make concrete your thoughts, which is where your believing happens, as you act out on it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's what follows. If we do what the Word of God says, our believing will be concrete, because we'll start to expect it. It will be like when I hit the switch, this will happen. I'm taking the action and I'm seeing the results, right? And that builds our believing. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. So again, sometimes I wonder, how do I do it? You gotta take action. We gotta take action. Which means we gotta try stuff out too. There's nothing wrong with trying stuff out, you know? I don't know how to throw a football the first time I picked it up. I tried it. And guess what? It wasn't a perfect spiral. But now I can throw a perfect spiral because I've tried it a bunch of times. I've gotten better at it. I've committed myself to that work and the results follow, right? So sometimes we get that little thought in our head, or that little idea, and we're like, is that God talking to me? I don't know if that's God talking to me. Maybe it's not God talking to me. And then the opportunity's over, because we spent all that time wondering if that was God talking to me, instead of just trying it and doing it. And guess what? There are times where I've thought of stuff, and I tried it and did it, and it wasn't God talking to me. But if I don't try it, and I just question it every single time, then I'm never going to do it. I'll just always wonder if that was it. And sometimes I'll try it, and I'll be like, okay, well, what did I do that for? And then sometimes I'll do it, and I'll be like, wow, that was awesome, because it was God working in me. And then it helps you to realize what the difference is, and it helps to build your believing. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In deed and in truth. So the truth is part of the deed. It's part of the action. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The word know is the word gnosko, by experience. We'll know it by experience because we'll be doing it. We'll be doing the deed. And shall assure means that it will establish our believing. It will establish it. Again, the actions will establish our believing. For if our heart, our thoughts, what we're thinking, condemn us, you know, is that really what God said? I don't know. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows what's up. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if we stop, if we take the guesswork out of it, we stop guessing at it, stop doubting it, then we have confidence toward God. And that's where the trust comes in. That's where the believing comes in. Then we're believing. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay? And that's the result. Whatsoever we ask, according to his word, we're going to receive. And because, why? Why will we receive? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Again, the action. The action appropriates the believing. A lot of times we just sit in a chair and believe and believe and believe. You know, think. You know, it's a matter of taking action. It's a matter of saying, okay, I believe this, so I'm going to act out on it. I'm going to act out on it to see, to prove God that he'll do what his word says. Right? Most people in the world are circumstances oriented. Right? They react to what happens around them. Something happens, they react to it. They are conditioned by what's going on. And that stuff is mostly negative, right? I'm sad because this is going on. I'm unhappy because this is happening in my life. I saw this on the news and it made me feel this way. They're conditioned by what's happening around them. And what the Word of God says is that we can be word conditioned, right? We can be conditioned to what the Word of God says, thinking godly thoughts regardless of the five senses circumstances, right? Go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. So instead of being reactionary to what's going on, instead of our action being determined by the circumstances, our action should be determined by what the Word of God says. And God has set things up so that when we think his thoughts, which is basically believing, the circumstances change to align with God's word. So we can be conditioned by the circumstances. Circumstances suck, so we are unhappy. Or we can be word conditioned. Hey, circumstances suck, but God's word says I can be joyful and I can be happy. And then when we believe that and put it into action, the circumstances don't suck anymore. Because we're happy and we're joyful. So the circumstances will change to align with what the Word of God says if we put it on. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that's what God set up. He's made all grace abound to you so that we have all sufficiency in all things, so that we can abound to every good work, right? It's God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants to put you in a position where it's easy and a blessing to do his word, because he wants you to do it, right? God didn't set it up so that, like, when you did his word, it hurts and it's terrible, because then you wouldn't want to do it anymore. He set it up so that when you do his word, it's a blessing. When you have all sufficiency in all things so that you can carry out his word, right? And it's a matter of accepting that and believing it. He wants to make it easy. chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's what God wants us to do, to bring our thoughts into captivity. And that means to think what the Word of God says. To think. You can only think one thing at a time. That's a fact. And you control what you think. That's also a fact. So you can control what you think, and you can only think one thing at a time. So if you make that thought align with God's word, even if the circumstances do suck, you will be happy. You'll be happy. And that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is that stuff that the adversary throws out there. The imaginations, the things that are like contrary to God's word, and the high things that exalt itself against it, the stuff that, you know, the world will tell you is way more important than believing God, some stupid book or some superstition, some religion, right? Why, you know, it's becoming very chic and popular not to be religious. Only fools are religious in this age of science, right? And yes, there are laws that God set up which you can prove out scientifically. But it doesn't mean God doesn't exist. The one doesn't lead to the other. In fact, I would say it's kind of insane to think that all of these things do exist to the point that they're laws and can be proved out without there being some type of divine design to them. How did they get there? How is everything so orderly, right? Had to start someplace. So the world will tell you, well, that's just foolish. It's, you know, religion is crazy. But that's those imaginations, those high things that exalt themselves against God, we're to get rid of. We're to cast them down. Go to 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if we're really on with the word and we're doing something right, then the adversary can't touch you, because it's greater. Greater is he that is in you. The God in Christ in you is greater than the adversary. He can't touch you. And if we believe that, then the circumstances are going to be awesome, regardless of what they look like and appear to be from the five senses. Go to Ephesians 1:9. Two more verses here. Ephesians 1:9. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse, let's go to 18. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, word, that's you and me, who do what?
Believe.
Believe. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. God wants us to know this. That's what that means. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you would know this truth. The exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe. When we believe, our believing is what unleashes the awesome power of God in our lives. Okay? That's what he wants us to know. Our believing unleashes that awesome power. So when we believe God's word, when we're convinced of it, then the truths in it become truths to us. And those truths are very powerful. Those truths say we can do amazing things, right? Powerful things. So when we believe that, when we act out on it like it is true, then we'll see that stuff come to pass. Go to Romans 15:13. So believing is simply, in a nutshell, trusting God, which involves acting on His Word. We need to act out on His Word. Take those steps. Try it. And like a kid, you'll fall, you'll stumble as you get attempt to walk for the first time. But it gets easier. It gets easier to do the more you do it. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what?
Believing.
That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So when we do, when we put this on, we're going to have great joy and great peace in our life. Right? If I don't have joy and peace in my life, then I'm not believing. I'm not believing the Word of God because it's available. You can only think one thought at a time. And God's thoughts are joyful thoughts. They're peaceful thoughts. If we think God's thoughts, we too will be peaceful and joyful. And we'll have a wonderful, wonderful life experiencing the great power of God in our lives.